Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We've been trying to have a discussion of money and why money is not necessarily to be based on gold, the gold standard. I'd like to get back to that because it's a fascinating discussion of what money really is. But first, we have a few news stories. And of course, it's Veterans Day. Thank you to all of our veterans who've sacrificed so much of their time and liberty, and even many of them, of course, their lives, to keep us free. And we do have a significant degree of freedom in America. We don't have the freedom that we should have from God, but we are more free than many other nations. And I thank God for that. And I thank our veterans, including those who are fighting in Afghanistan today, those who are still in Iraq. I know that many conservatives are upset that we're in Iraq and Afghanistan. I am thankful. The Bush Doctrine was correct. The Bush Doctrine was, if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. If you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. Then there was the Bob Enyart Live Doctrine, which applied, should have applied also to the Palestinians and Yasser Arafat, a terrorist leader that we gave tens of millions of dollars to. The Bush Doctrine is if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist. The Bob Enyart Live Doctrine is if you are a terrorist, you are a terrorist. Like terrorists are us. Yasser Arafat did not only harbor terrorists, he are a terrorist. And so we should have opposed him also instead of funded him because of political correctness and denying terrorists the use of a country, the open use of an entire country from which to train other terrorists and to export violence and to project their foreign policy, if you will, across the land and to other nations on earth. That's a valid goal of a justified foreign policy, to deny a terrorist organization the use of a country. And so if you harbor a terrorist, you are a terrorist, and it's valid to use American treasure, blood, the lives of our soldiers, their incredible commitment. My son, I mentioned in a debate discussion with a caller a couple days ago, he basically was saying, Bob, what right do you have to express an opinion? You don't have any skin in this game. But my son, Josiah, could be deployed to Afghanistan, and we're very proud of him. And of all those, all our sons and daughters who are in the military, we're very thankful. I'm very thankful for the freedom that we have. And when terrorists take a shot at America, they're going to realize that they pay an awfully steep price. And they have. They've paid a steep price. They have a hard time getting together a small attack these days. They have a hard time with it. On 9/11, they killed their A-team. Their A-team went down on 9/11. They took a lot of people with them, but it's not as though there were going to be spectacular terrorist attacks day after day or even once a week or once a month. That was their A-team. So, and I'm thankful for that too. All right. So a few news stories before we get back to our discussion of money. Hugo Chavez down in Venezuela defending his, now he's a communist and gradually he is taking over the economy. And it's interesting that a lot of people, when they think about political systems and the spectrums of governments. You have a range of governments, different types of governments, and people like to systematize things so they could think about them more clearly and understand them. And liberals, the liberal political spectrum is wrong, of course. It's where you have sort of a circle, and they say extremes always meet, and they say that Nazism and communism, they'll say Nazism is a right wing, communism is a left wing form of government, and they come very close to meeting in the middle. And they might have democracy on the left and capitalism on the right, and they're utterly confused in every respect because extremes don't meet. And communism, for example, capitalism, these are economic systems. They're not governmental systems. And you could have a monarchy or a democracy. Those are political systems. A dictatorship you could have. And they could impose socialism or capitalism or communism. So you have to distinguish between economic systems and political systems if you're trying to figure out a spectrum of governments. The political spectrum, if you want to figure that out, you should be able to keep separate in your mind the difference between political systems like a dictatorship, for example, or a democracy or a republic or a monarchy versus an economic system, how the economy functions, for example, socialism, communism, and capitalism, which I prefer the term freedom to the Marxist term capitalism. Not that it's wrong to use the term capitalism. It's okay, but capitalism is freedom. That's what you have when the government doesn't rob you of your right to enter into contracts with other people and transact business. You have capitalism. It's only when the government then robs you of that freedom. So capitalism is actually freedom. There's another false view of the political spectrum. It's wrong. It's the conservative view, which is based on the size of government. And many conservatives say that the political spectrum is based on the size of government. And so you got the right wing and the left wing, and conservatives tend to like smaller governments. And so then they will take different kinds of governments, whether a democracy, a republic, a monarchy, so on, maybe anarchy, and they'll put it on a spectrum based on the size of government. And that's simply not a valid way to view the political spectrum, because a republic can have a very large or a very small government. A monarchy could be very small or it could be very large. The size of government is a symptom. It's a tangent. It's not fundamental to whether or not a government is justifiable, is right or wrong. For example, during wartime, the size of the government might expand regardless of whether it's a good government or a bad government, a right government or a wrong government. So what is the true political spectrum? What is the true political spectrum? What is it based on? The true political spectrum is based on authority flow. That is fundamentally the true political spectrum. And authority flows downhill from God to man. From God through government to parents to children. And even the kid could kick the cat off the couch, right? Authority flows downhill. And so as authority flow begins to go sideways, you go through a range of different types of governments, and then it begins to flow uphill, which is backwards. And that's when you're into a republic, a representative republic, a democracy, and basically anarchy and usurpery is when there's the downhill flow of authority has been completely obliterated. And you could look at the true political spectrum from authority flow, and that's the correct way to assess a political spectrum. You could look at how those different types of authority flows tend to deal with property, with faith, with rights, with origins. You could look at how they deal, and typically, and these are not one-to-one corresponding absolutes, but these are general rules of thumb, like faith, for example, faith, the downhill flow of authority from God. Nations that had that type of government would tend to be monotheistic, monotheism, and utter uphill flow of authority, as though there is no God, as though authority doesn't flow downhill from God to government, to parents, to children. In the area of faith, they would tend to be atheistic, atheism. So you go from monotheism, the right wing, the authority flow down from God through government to man, tends to be monotheistic, and when authority flows uphill, people don't care about God, authorities derived from the masses, majority rules, then their faith tends toward atheism. By the way, the purpose of government is to defend rights, and especially the rights of the minority as against the majority. And the smallest minority is a minority of one. So if the mob rule, if the mob wants to take away the property or the wealth of an individual, the government should be able to stand in the way and stop it. And if Christians are a minority in a country and the masses want to take away the property of the Christians, then the government should be able to stand in the way and stop it. Likewise with Muslims or atheists. If atheists are a minority and the majority wants to take away the property of the atheist, the government should stand in the way and stop it. Well, government based on majority rule is not especially well designed to protect the rights of minorities. Government based on majority rule is not especially well designed to protect the rights of minorities. For example, unborn children are a minority. So government based on majority rule, if the majority, if they want to steal socialism, they want to kill the innocent unborn child, they want to do away with the elderly, get them in a hospice where they'll over-medicate them and take care of them quickly so the whole family could be here. Wow, it's like magic. Everybody was here and grandma died. Isn't that amazing how that happened? The majority, Jesus said, are headed to hell. The majority don't love God or not committed to God, and they like to lie and steal and fornicate and kill those who are inconvenient. That's what the majority likes to do. And so a government based on majority rule is not especially well designed to protect the rights of the minority. And so a representative republic and a democracy tend to be left wing. So right wing, authority flows downhill from God through government to men. Left wing, authority flows uphill. You go from monotheism to atheism. In origins, and the issue of origins, where did we come from? You go from creation, our creator God. We get our rights from our creator, all the way through to evolution and atheistic evolution and Darwinism. And so you have socialist Darwinism and all that mess. Rights. Where do our rights come from? Well, the true political spectrum, a right-wing government, a valid right-wing government, sees our rights coming from our creator. Therefore, it's not arbitrary when you decide that you can't kill a living homo sapien, human being. And so your rights are endowed by your creator, then not at birth, but at the moment of your creation, at that first single-celled stage of human development, the beginning of biological development of the human being. So you would be pro-life versus you flow over to pro-abortion on the left. And even you could even look at this from emotions, the emotions that the left, a democracy, a republic, they embody indifference. Indifference, apathy. Oh, if your neighbor wants to be a homosexual, what is that to you? Big deal. No skin off your nose. Just let him be a homosexual. That's apathy, indifference, which is a form of hate, hatred. Right? Peter Boyles is all into homosexual rights over on KHAL Radio. We're 50,000 watts here on AM 670 KLTT. What is KHAL? What is KHAL? Are they about 20,000 watts? We got to find out what KHAL is. But we're 50,000 watts here, the most powerful Christian station in the country, one of the top 10 most powerful stations of any radio station across America. And so you could think, oh, I'm so nice to homosexuals. I support homosexual rights. But actually, you have an attitude of hate toward homosexuals. And the Christian who cares about what God said in his word, how he made us, he knows how he made us. He's the creator. He made us male and female. And he warned us against homosexual behavior because it is perverse. It's an abomination, and they pay the penalty which is due in their own bodies. It is utterly destructive. So if you hate your neighbor, you won't really care if he mainlines drugs, if he smokes crack, if he's a homosexual prostitute. Peter Boyles does shows with prostitutes. He thinks it's so fun, you know? And so a homosexual prostitute, hey, why not? Help you bring down the pastor of a megachurch. So, hey, homosexual prostitutes, cool. Who cares if it destroys them morally, spiritually, physically? Who cares? It's not my responsibility. That's called indifference or apathy, and that goes with left-wing government. So you go from right-wing to left-wing. And by the way, here at Bob and Yurt Live, our fascination with studying God's word is based on an overview of the Bible. That's what we do. We do an overview of the Bible. Because Christians, by the millions, they get confused or they debate or they get angry about doctrines of all types. And quite often, the Christians who argue or debate doctrines, like whether it's end times, eschatology, the rapture, speaking in tongues, tithing, keep the Sabbath, whatever, you name the doctrine. Quite often, they feel sort of confident on that topic. But if you ask to broaden the discussion to an overview of the whole Bible, they very quickly get uncomfortable because they don't have, many Christians don't have a good understanding of the overview of the whole Bible. And so then they're vulnerable to being confused or even tricked on theological issues because they have a very narrow perspective. And so the plot of the Bible are audio CDs, downloadable, or the written plot, the manuscript, My Life's Work. It focuses on the overview, the big picture. The big picture, the overview of the Bible is the key to its details, to the doctrines. Well, the same thing is true with government. You're trying to assess what is a reasonable foreign policy. Is this war good or bad? Is this approach to influence society? Is this a justifiable approach? Is it moral, immoral? And it helps to have a big picture, the overview of government, the overview, and to be able to understand the different proposed forms of government. And how do they relate to one another? What makes them different, really? How do they affect faith and origins and rights and even emotions? How do they affect these areas? And what does God's word say about these issues? It's so very important. And so it's fascinating to me. And I am thankful that we have the freedom that we do in this country, even though we don't have the freedom that God says we should have. We have a lot more than in other countries. And I'm thankful for that and try to exploit that freedom, like in Canada, my radio show is against the law in Canada, right? Michael Savage brags he's banned in Britain. That happened a year ago. Bob and Yurt Live was banned in Canada in the 1990s. And a local radio programmer had to remove my show from his programming lineup because they don't allow people to teach what God's word says on the air, radio or TV, in Canada. So I'm thankful for the degree of freedom we do have here. in this country, and where in Venezuela, Hugo Chavez is now taking over apartment complexes, including a handful of gated communities and other developments. And of course, that's just on the way toward taking more and more and more private property. And we know that communism is wrong, not because it doesn't work and it spreads out the poverty. That's what it does. Makes everybody equal by making everyone poor, except for the leaders who tend to be wildly wealthy. But communism is wrong, and the various forms of socialism, because they violate God's command, thou shalt not steal. That's why communism is wrong. Here in this country, we have the percentage of federal workers who are making over $150,000 a year skyrocketing. And we've been talking about government workers. We mentioned about a week ago where government workers are making far beyond the private sector. And that difference is expanding at a rapid rate, even in the current economic crisis, with so many people out of work and the government at such a deficit spending, record deficit spending, and government bureaucrats are being paid more and more and more. And so the number of federal workers earning $150,000 or more has increased tenfold in the past 5 years. And does that mean it's Bush's fault or Obama's fault? Well, it's both. Actually, it's the increase was split nicely between the two in the past 5 years. For example, I'll give you a few examples. The number of Defense Department civilians who earned $170,000 or more was nine. There were nine people in 2005. Now that's looking at 170,000. When Obama took office, there were 214. So the last few years of the Bush administration, we went from nine civilians making 170,000 a year or more up to 214. When Obama took office, now today, it's 994, almost 1,000. From 9 to about 1,000. How's that? Let's see, medical doctors at veterans hospitals and government doctors elsewhere through the government, averaging $180,000. They average $180,000. They averaged $110,000 just back in 2005. Federal workers earning $150,000 or more used to make up half of 1%. Way, way back in 2005, it was a half of 1%. Today, it's 4%. Four. One out of 25 federal workers, bureaucrats, one out of 25 are making $150,000 or more, and that was one half of 1% way, way back in 2005, and it's gone up 10 times to 4%. And Congress, by the way, members of Congress used to make back in 2000 $140,000 a year. Now they make $175,000 a year. So I'm not going to get to my story on money. But let's go to Englewood, Colorado. Chris, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Oh, hi, Bob. I just want to say how grateful I am for you and your program. And I just wanted to say, free at last. I'm finally off the Republican plantation.
Free at last.
I've had to fight the gag reflex. I've been a member of the American Constitution Party for years, but I was afraid of the boogeyman.
Afraid of the boogeyman, right? So we
and
have to.
So I would always. Yeah. Fighting the gag reflex, pull the lever for the Republican.
Right.
And
because my child killer is better than their child killer.
And George Bush years ago declared that conservatism is dead, and
right.
And conservatives are just being played for chumps, and I was being played for a chump.
That's true. Like Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh, they realized that Bush never cared about conservative Christians, But, you know, that to them, that wasn't a big deal. At least he was a conservative. But the joke was on them because he cares nothing of conservatism. And he bragged that the conservative movement is dead. He killed it. He defeated Gary Bauer, the Family Research Council, James Dobson's longtime ally, in a primary, presidential primary. So according to Bush, there is no conservative movement. He crushed it. And for the most part, he's pretty much accurate on that.
Well, and on top of that, the Republicans have been trying to kick social conservatives out of the Republican Party for years. And in this particular case, I want to proclaim that they've been successful.
They've been. All right, Chris. That's a very encouraging way of looking at it.
Yeah. That is germane to Veterans Day. And I think that we are presently in both Iraq and Afghanistan because of multiculturalism.
All right.
And that's because we're trying to institute some form of a democracy in those countries.
Yeah.
And it may very well be that the only places where democracies are possible are places like England or
Western style, where there's a Western style worldview.
Well, it's not just even Western style. Because,
yeah.
I mean, most of the West is completely nihilistic and godless.
Which
and
so war?
Consequently, there are no individual rights.
Chris, which war was designed to make the world safe for democracy? Wasn't that World War One?
Well, Woodrow Wilson made that proclamation.
And,
I'm not exactly sure.
And Chris, the bizarre thing is Germany, they had their Weimar Republic. They introduced the Weimar Constitution, which was democratic, and the National Socialists used that constitution to get Hitler in power, and then they began to violently consolidate their power. But it was democracy that gave Germany Adolf Hitler.
Well, but because of multiculturalism, we have to play out this fantasy that every conceivable cultural
has to have a democracy, right?
Is capable of having a democracy.
Great
and it
point.
May, in fact, be only a culture that's based on a set of Puritan Calvinistic values like the United States and
all right.
England.
All right. Well, Chris, we're out of time.
Of a democracy.
We're out of time. Thank you for your call. And as far as, you know, America, we kill our own children, so we're evil. But when Al-Qaeda kills us and our children, even then, we still have a right to stop them.